Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Craftsman Automation Limited Investor Call to discuss the financial performance of the company for the quarter and year ended 31st March 2022. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Srinivasan Ravi, Chairman and Managing Director of Craftsman Automation Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, everybody. Thank you very much for joining. It gives me immense pleasure in welcoming you all for the earnings call for the quarter as well as the year ended March 2022, FY 2022. Craftsman Automation has successfully completed 1 year of listing of shares, and I thank you for your overwhelming support. I just give a brief about the industry situation now. In FY 2021-22, the passenger vehicles and commercial vehicles witnessed a growth, whereas we were quite disappointed with the two-wheeler segment, which has declined by 11% due to obvious reasons. There is an overall decline in the automotive industry sales by 6%. The recent Ukraine war has also some impact on the global economy and also commodity prices, availability of materials, and also leading to some inflation. Moreover, recent lockdowns in key manufacturing and trade hubs in China has impacted supplies for our customers, and this has also led to some little muted demand in the Q4. The prices of major raw material and fuel have been increasing continuously. Steel prices are up 23% and aluminum prices are up by 35% compared to March 2021. In spite of the dynamic and challenging environment, Craftsman has made a better performance, and I would like to take you through the highlights of Q4 and FY 2021-22. Standalone financials, highest ever sales, 2,200 crore. That is 43% over last year in gross terms on the top line, and I would say it is 32% in real terms for the value addition. The PBT of 248 crore, a growth of 68% over previous year. Turnover has grown 43% and stands at 2,206 crore as against 1,546 crore. PBT, 248 crore as against a profit of PBT of 148 crore in the previous year. Consolidated PBT has crossed 250 crore, that is 252. Highest ever PAT, 160 crore. Last year was 97. EBITDA has grown 20% from 448, and this year has been 539. CapEx is more or less in line with our depreciation, that is 237 crore, to enhance technological upgradation wherever is required for addressing emerging opportunities. The company has performed decently well in major key financial areas in spite of some headwinds. The earlier guidance on the debt reduction has happened a little on the CapEx front and on the term loan front, but not on the working capital. We are hugely driven by increased commodity prices and availability of material on time. Your company had to increase the inventory, and that led to increased borrowing in the working capital. The term loan we are able to reduce a little. Overall debt has more or less remained same. That is the only guidance which we had given earlier we could not meet. Debt equity has been improved from 0.72 last year to 0.63 this year. Debt to EBITDA, which was 1.57, now stands at 1.33. EBITDA percentage, 29%, has dropped to 24%, but that is in line with the commodity price increase, which had a pass-through, and it will be also in the future. These EBITDA numbers will get recalibrated, and I would request everybody to look at the value addition portion. EBIT from FY 2021 was 16% and FY 2022 was 15%. PBT dropped a little by from 10% to 11%. PAT has increased from 6% to now 7%. The current ratio, which is from 0.96 to 1.03. ROC pre-tax, which was 16% last year, now it is 20%. ROE, which was 11% last year, has been now 15%. EPS has improved from 48 now to 76 rupees. Segment-wise results, the automotive powertrain has grown by top line by 42%. That is, the numbers stand at 1,154 crore for the year. That last year was 811 crore. Auto aluminum was 440 crore. Last year was 330 crore, but this is mostly aluminum commodity. Industrial engineering was 612 crore compared to 405 crore last year. Segment EBIT, the powertrain segment EBIT stands at 304 crore compared to 221 crore last year. Auto aluminum was, EBIT was 10 crore, last year was 3 crore. Industrial engineering was 64 crore, last year was 73 crore. Unallocated stands around the same level as 43 crore. So the total EBIT has been 333 crore for the year compared to last year of 248 crore. So I will now open the floor for any questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Nishit Jalan from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, Ravi. Congratulations on good set of numbers. I have three questions. The first question is on the overall industry growth across segments. Since you deal in multiple segments, how are you seeing industry growth, especially given the fact that crude has gone up and commodity prices have gone up? Have you started to see any cut in production scheduled by OEMs? And related to that, how has been order inflows for you? Any meaningful order wins since last quarter that you would want to highlight? That is the first question. I'll come back to the remaining two questions after you answer.
The industry, when, as far as the trend goes in the current quarter, we are seeing strong demand in comparison with the last year first quarter, I would say. That is the comparison. It is almost in line with the Q4 numbers, is what we feel currently. Q4, we had a muted Q4 for the farm sector, which Q1 looks better on the farm sector. Commercial vehicle, there are headwinds because of the fuel price increase, but the headwinds are also helping the real heavy-duty segment to sell because they're more fuel efficient, and the fleet owners needs to modernize to keep their costs down. So it is helping, but now with the RBI announcing some interest rate hike, I don't know how it will affect. But still, I think the numbers are quite strong in Q1 also. The two-wheeler segment has declined, I think, but it is, I don't think it will slide further on the numbers because this has also been factored in the Q4 itself, where we saw an industry number of roughly hardly 1.2 million, I think so, approximately two-wheeler numbers. So the there are some exports which are there. So we feel that the current year Q1 will be almost 90% of Q4, which is not normal. So the order wins we have some of our customers, they come into good production for the passenger vehicle segment and the SUV segment, and we are seeing good traction on the continuously increasing numbers there, and they seem to have also overcome the chip shortage. So we will see, we are seeing good numbers there. We also won some orders for the auto aluminum, which I will not like to elaborate, but it is quite sizable, further going down. Once we are ready for the with the CapEx. Then the CapEx is minor, but when you're ready with the project plan and when it's going to be launched, it'll be in the next financial year. So we will come up in the next earnings call about more details about the order win in the auto aluminum. In the auto powertrain, there have been continuous but small order wins, and we are quite confident that all the three segments, the auto powertrain, auto aluminum, and the industrial engineering, all will see a growth of around 20%, a real growth of 20%, because commodity has already been factored in. I hope I answered your question, Nishit. Anything specific to elaborate for me?
Yeah, I know. Pretty good to hear the kind of growth targets you have. My second question is on profitability. Industrial segment, we have seen good improvement in margins. Last three quarters have been tough. So just wanted to understand what has changed here, how much of it is because of product mix, or you were looking to take and get price hikes from your customers. So has this price hikes come through, or the impact of price hikes will come in into coming quarters? And secondly, in the aluminum business, we understand that there's a lead lag impact of higher aluminum costs. So just wanted to understand how should we look at profitability in the aluminum segment, both from a near-term perspective and from a medium-term perspective in terms of EBITDA margin or EBIT margin, whatever you want to guide.
So I'll answer the second part of your question first. In the auto powertrain, we are immune to any commodity price, which is 100% a straight pass-through. So there is actually no advantage, disadvantage there at all. In auto aluminum, it was a trailing quarter, but now it is more real-time. I would say it is more realistic average has been taken, and almost all the companies are following this now. So that means there will be not any leakage of revenue because of the commodity prices, even if further commodity prices continue to increase going forward. So we are well insulated going forward. In the industrial engineering business, yes, we have not gone for the. There are two segments of the industrial engineering business. One is the high-end subassemblies and contract manufacturing, which we have been doing for more than two or three decades now. There, we are recalibrating all the costs, and we are going to approach the customer in the current quarter because frequent corrections we don't engage because most of the customers there are also overseas customers where we are directly exporting. And they are also seeing huge inflation in their own areas, especially in Europe. And our exports are more or less equal with Europe and the U.S. and Japan is quite well here. And the advantage what we have is we have large, long-standing relationships with our customers. So we don't see any issue of getting the, I would say, genuine price correction going forward into Q2 totally. Whereas, as I mentioned, that only problem will be on the interest portion on the working capital, which we need to now take a safety stock of some of the products what we are doing due to the huge fluctuation. If this moderates, I think our working capital requirements will come down. That also will improve the ROC. So I hope I answered your question, Nishit.
So what I can gather from your answer is that in the industrial segment, the price hike benefit is yet to come. So there could be further margin improvement in the segment going ahead. Is that correct understanding?
Yes, so that is correct. And the other segment on the I&D, which is the storage solution business, we have made our inroads, and we have marked our presence in the market. We're a very strong player now. So on the static racking, we are getting the right prices now. So and commodity also, we are having a good leverage. We have reached the optimum size. We are looking at growing more than 50% in the current year in the storage solution business. Last year also, we grew. And last year, we have crossed around 250 crores, something.
104 crores has become 253 crores.
104 crores has become 253 crores in the last year on the storage solution business. And this year, we expect to grow by another minimum of 50%. And the automated storage solution business is also taking off, which the margins are surely better. So the margin on the industrial segment, as far as the influence or the negative influence of the storage solution business, which we had last year, will get nullified in this coming quarter itself.
Sure. So Ravi, would you like to give any guidance on the profitability in aluminum business segment? Because that has been quite volatile because of external factors and lower capacity utilization as well. So any guidance you would want to give from a medium-term perspective, and how should we expect a current level of margins to sustain in the next couple of quarters, or do we expect an improvement or further decline here?
No, I will go by an annual guidance because a quarterly guidance today everybody is giving monthly schedules, and I don't want to just guess numbers. We had a negative ROC FY 2021, if you remember, and this has turned positive in this year, at least on the ROC front. EBIT also was very low. Pre-tax ROC was -3% last year. Now it has become 2%. So we will be at two-digit ROC in the current financial year. This is, we are quite confident about that number on the ROC. And EBIT number, if you look at it, the EBIT percentage. EBIT margin was -3.8% in FY 2021 for auto aluminum. Now it is 1.9%. So I think the worst is behind us. Here also, the EBIT margin, we will be surely into two digits going forward.
Okay, thank you. Thank you so much. All the best.
Thank you. We'll move on to the next question. That is from the line of Sagar Parekh from Deep Financial Consultants. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir, and thank you for taking my question. I have two questions. First, I want the capacity utilization number for all the three divisions, if you can give it to us, please.
Can I stick to Q4 and give you the capacity utilization? Because for the whole year, capacity utilization. Okay, I can give you for the whole year also. Whole year, we were around ranging between 60%-70% on the auto powertrain for the full year, and some months we had a higher percentage. Auto aluminum for the full year has been around 40-odd%.
40?
Yeah.
Okay.
40? 40. For the full year, 57% on the auto aluminum, yes.
How much, sir? 57?
57.
So 40% is what then?
No, no, sorry. I mean, I was looking at some quarter during the time, yes.
Okay. And industrial engineering?
Industrial engineering, our capacity utilization cannot be exactly calculated because it depends on too many products.
Too many products.
So there is a lot of headroom there because it's not CapEx intensive. It's on product intensive. I think we have a headroom to increase 50% there.
Okay, got it. So then this 34% rise in the sales in aluminum products for FY 2022, which from 330 to 440, that is largely driven by aluminum price increases, or it's volume-driven growth as well?
Only marginally on the volume-driven growth. It is more driven by the price increase, the top line.
Okay, so with some order wins that you mentioned at the start of the call, then can we expect some volume growth as well for FY 2023?
Yes, volume growth is surely there on the cards for FY 2023. And I would rather give a three-year number, what was 440 crore for FY 2022. If I fast forward to 2026, I think we'll reach the 1,000 crore number, and we'll be very close to the 1,000 crore number in the previous year itself, the way it is going, the order wins what we're having. But I would not like to elaborate on this order wins currently.
This growth will be driven by passenger vehicle, or will it be mixed?
It is on passenger vehicles. A little on the two-wheeler EV also, but mainly it's on the passenger vehicles. It is a combination of conventional ICE engines, passenger vehicles, and as well as EV also.
Got it. And my second question was more on the medium-term outlook, actually, on the automotive powertrain division. So I believe that Daimler has decided to stop its medium-duty engines, and they have signed a pact with Cummins to provide this medium-duty engine, right? So for their trucks and buses. So how does that impact us, and what are your thoughts on this?
See, Daimler, the top line is quite high because we are supplying along with material, and I think around more than 80% is the raw material cost, which is in our top line. The value addition portion for Daimler, I think it is not a significant number as far as the auto powertrain value addition goes as a whole. What we see is even for Daimler, 80% of the value addition comes from our exports through Daimler to Brazil, and only 20% comes from Daimler India. The fact that the Daimler on the what is medium duty trucks in Europe is called heavy duty trucks here. The engines what are going to be getting changed, as you mentioned, it is on the 15,000 trucks which they produce in India. So that around 10,000 trucks will stop. 5,000 will continue because these are for other countries where they are still at the old emission level. So that compared to Brazil is the volume is around 60,000. So when you look at the overall number of 75,000, what will get impacted in FY25 will be 10,000. And again, a portion of that in FY28, there is a chance that Daimler Brazil also may shift to Cummins if the emission norm changes. That is still not on the plan at all as of now. So I don't see that as today a big challenge, because our dependency on Daimler itself is reducing as we even in the current year, I would say. And look at the value addition.
Is it possible to quantify our total exposure to Daimler or overall revenues to Daimler?
No, I don't want to talk about revenue. I'll talk about the value addition. The value addition on the auto powertrain, it is around, last year we had done around 760 crore totally on the auto powertrain, on the value addition. And I think around 80-90 crore for the heavy duty segment for Daimler will be there. Rest is medium duty, which is they're going to continue for that. So 10% will be the impact in FY25 will be very small, because Brazil is going to continue. Brazil is not yet moved to BS6 yet.
Okay.
So when they move to BS7 only, it will happen. That may be on the cards for FY28.
Got it. So this 80 to 90 crore includes Brazil shipments also from here?
Yes, correct. Brazil shipments.
Okay. Got it.
And the Fuso range will continue as we know.
Sorry, what will continue?
The Fuso, the medium-duty range, which is another Fuso, that will continue. So we see that there will be an 8-9% impact in FY27-28. By the time our other auto powertrain business will grow, and maybe the percentage will still come down. We see it growing in the auto powertrain. So nobody is investing further there, and consolidation is happening in India. So I see that we will continue to grow in the good double-digit. 20% maybe for the next 2-3 years surely. After that also, I think a double-digit growth, in spite of loss of Daimler in FY28, I think we will continue.
Okay, that's heartening to know. So, just wanted to check, this Daimler has given a target of like by 2030, they want to completely move away from ICE engines. So, then the medium duty, everything will be impacted then?
Medium duty in India is more moving towards CNG and other things. It depends on government subsidy and regulations. I'm not the right person to say. We have been watching it very carefully. But there is a lot of export also happening on the powertrain area to other countries, especially African countries. So I don't see that we are going to stop or reduce. Maybe the growth may be muted, I would say.
Okay, understood. And my last question, sorry for this, just aluminium business, you said you are targeting double-digit EBIT margins for FY23, right?
Yes.
Okay, because we were at about 2% for FY22. So that will go to 10% or let's say 10 to 11%. So that will be a massive jump in aluminium margin.
Yes, correct. We are caught on the wrong side of that trailing quarter, which we are buying aluminium at a price and selling it lower. That was the, apart from the lower capacity utilization, this was the reason. And now we have added some products which are having higher value. And in steps, I think our dependency on two-wheeler will come down in the next 2-3 years.
Sure. Great, sir. That's it from my side, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Joseph George from IIFL. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. I had three questions. One is, you mentioned that in FY22, there was a working capital hit because you had to increase inventory. So what I want to understand was, next year, do you expect that to normalize? And as a result, from a cash flow perspective, do you expect working capital to release cash in FY23?
We are at least going to grow by 20%, as I would say the guidance, and take into consideration current market condition, the war, the whatever in environment, the higher interest rates. So hopefully we'll do more than 20%. Even at 20% level, I don't see increase in working capital requirement. The number of days will come down, and if the commodity prices remain as such, we will see a reduction in the working capital requirement.
Sure. So basically, it can either release or stay at the same level as FY22, and it will not hurt in FY23.
No, it will not absorb money. I would say that even for 25% growth, the working capital will not grow going forward.
Understood, sir. Thank you. The next question that I had was in relation to capacity utilization. You've already answered that question segment-wise, but you know, you would have a capacity increasing through the course of the year. I just wanted to rephrase that question. So if all the plants that you had at the end of FY22 were to operate at, you know, 100% level, or if, say, for instance, 90% is the optimum level, if they were to operate at 90% levels, what will be the annual revenue that will be able to generate? Of course, there's seasonality and all of that, but just to understand, and in with respect to, you know, the revenue generating capacity of all the assets at the end of FY22,
we feel that confidently say that today our capacity to produce is, with the current product mix, is around 300 crore a month.
Okay. So that comes over 3600. Understood. And so the last question that I had was, could you give the storage solutions revenue for the fourth quarter? I mean, you gave the number for the full year. I thought you mentioned 253 crores. Could you give it for the fourth quarter as well?
Yes, we will give it. You can shoot the next question while the CFO is taking the number out.
I'm done with the questions. Thank you.
Okay, just a minute. Then we'll answer that.
So shall we move on to the next question?
Yes.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhishek Jain from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. I'm grateful for the set up the numbers in the time.
Sorry to interrupt, sir. You're sounding very soft. Can you speak a bit louder?
While Mr. Abhishek Jain asked his question, I will just answer Mr. Joseph's storage solution sales for Q4 was... So I'll come back to Kato.
Hello.
No, okay, please continue.
So are you able to hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, so my first question was related with the powertrain margin. So what is the revenue and margin outlook for the first quarter for powertrain business, given recovery in the tractor segment volume in recent month, which is more concentrated toward the machinery only?
The guidance which we can be safely assume is 600 crore for Q1, with the same percentage for the auto powertrain, auto aluminum, industrial engineering.
Okay, sir. And sir, how much impact do you see in the revenue from the Daimler India in a powertrain business for the near term? I mean to say that for FY23 and FY24?
Specifically asking about customer is not right for me to answer so much in detail, because it's a very strategic and also the point. Daimler, I think bulk of our business comes from Daimler Brazil. I would say it's 70-80%. So I will not answer that question. I will answer also Mr. Joseph's earlier question about storage solution. We have 65 crore revenue for Q4 last year.
Oh,
please pardon me for that, because it is we need all our customers, and I don't want to take any controversial questions here.
Okay, sir. That's fine, sir. And what is your CapEx and the date repayment plan for the FY23?
FY23, our guidance for CapEx as it stands today, it may change in the going forward. As we mentioned that we are going for a minimum growth of 20%, but in case something changes quite dramatically to an upward growth, then we may revise the CapEx. But as of now, it is almost in line with our depreciation portion. It is around 215 to 20 crore is what we are planning for.
Okay, including maintenance CapEx.
The results coming contrary to the guidance, that is more than 20%, then much more than 20%, then we may have to look at it.
And what is your repayment plan for FY23, sir?
I didn't get the question, please. Sorry, Abhishek.
Sir, what is your debt repayment plan for FY23?
Debt will reduce by around 100 crore is what we expect. A combination of term loan as well as working capital loan. Our debt as of March 22 stands at 713. Long-term debt has reduced from 546 crore last year to 522. So working capital has increased from 158 to 193. We don't expect working capital to increase further. So we expect long-term debt to come down.
Okay, sir. And my next question is related with the industrial segment. So this quarter we have seen a improvement in the margin. Is it because of price hike which was due in the assemblies, some assemblies and the fully finished products, or is it because of the some improvement? So there are two.
Yeah, I lost you in the first sentence. You're not clear.
So there are the two segment in the industrial. One is that storage solution system, and another is the assemblies. So in this quarter, we have seen a improvement in the margin. Is it because of the price hike which was due in the assemblies and sub-assembly side?
No, we have not even requested for the price hike in the sub-assembly. We are yet to make the request. So we will be making the request shortly, and we will maybe getting it in Q2, Q3 period. So it is more, I think, the pass-through of the commodity prices for the storage solution, which gave the better returns.
So, what is the current margin in storage solution business and the revenue in FY22?
So, it will change from project to project, Mr. Abhishek. So, but we are seeing good improvement there. That's all I can tell you. And today, our order book stands on the storage solution. We, as of date, we look at it, we are close to 150 crore pending order, five orders, okay. So today.
So most probably that this business will grow with a CAGR of 30-35% going ahead?
No, I think it will grow at 50% to 60%.
And what margin we can assume for this storage solution business?
The EBITDA margin may be at a low double digit for the storage solution, but ROC will be in line with the company's overall ROC, which is around 20%, because this is not an high capex business.
And overall margin of the industrial side?
It is now low. It has dropped from 17% EBITDA to 16% EBITDA, but we earlier we used to do 19% EBITDA with these actions in place, Mr. Abhishek, whatever you had mentioned about price correction in the high-end assemblies and also better pricing for our storage solutions. So we will go back to 17-18% EBITDA margins.
Okay, sir. And my last question is from the aluminium business. So you want the new business for the automatic gearbox housing and the e-axles. So can you throw some more light like the quantum of the business and the kind of the margin you will get there?
For strategy reasons, I would not like to name any customers because you know very well that some orders have been secured, some orders are about to be secured, and I would like to discuss in the next earnings call on this matter, please.
So, sir, what was the contribution for the two-wheelers versus four-wheeler in aluminium business in this year, and how would be the mix going ahead in FY23?
FY23, we will say see a change of 5-10% from the current level of I think it must be closer to 80%, sir. It is 87%. We will see it going below 80% in the current year. But what we see is FY25, we will be at 50-50.
50%. So most probably the business from the PSA will come in FY24 and?
It's not only PSA, we have got other orders from other OEMs or Tier 1 suppliers, which I will not like to elaborate now. Yes, it is quite sizable, the orders. PSA is already mentioned, or Stellantis is mentioned in the last 1 year, so it is safe to start production. But these new order wins which we are expecting or just taken are going to come into production quickly, because we see more speed of implementation by the OEMs themselves for these changes.
Okay, sir. Thanks, sir. That's all from my side.
Thank you, Mr. Vishwajit.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Pranay Roop Chatterjee from Burman Capital. Please go ahead.
Hey, good evening. Am I audible?
Yes.
Hey, sorry if I already shared this, but could you please share the value added segment-wise for Q4 2022 versus Q4 2021?
Okay, you want the comparison, right?
Yeah, comparison of value added segment-wise, yeah, quarterly.
For the year, I will just quickly read through while we also read through the for the quarter also. The value add for auto powertrain for FY21 was 542 and FY22 was 762. Auto aluminium was in FY21 was 121 and in FY22 was 147. Industrial engineering was 223 in FY21 and 267 in FY22. So now I am showing you the numbers for you for the quarter. For the powertrain, the value addition for Q4 last year was 201 crore. Versus 210 crore in the Q4 of FY22. This is mainly because of the farm sector not doing that.
Got it.
Then for the aluminium segment, Q4 last year the value add was 39.62 and this time is also 36.58. So more or less it's the same. You know, the drop in two-wheeler sales was quite significant in the current, when they just passed for Q4.
Right.
And the value addition for the industrial engineering segment last year was 62 crore and this year has been 84 crore.
Excellent. Got it. Okay. And now in your industrial and engineering segment, right, you generated a revenue of 186 crores approximately in Q4. Out of which you said 65 crores is storage, which would mean that the other industrial segment is around 121 crores.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm not wrong, this 121 crores last quarter was around 90 crores, the non-storage portion. So is it true that it has actually registered a 36% quarter-on-quarter growth, the other industrial segment?
It may be right there, but I would say that these are... the industrial engineering segment itself on the other high-end sub-assemblies, we have to look at for the year, because the one shipment, a bigger sub-assembly product which doesn't go through in that particular quarter, it may reflect in the next quarter. These are not a daily sale figure or a monthly sale figure, so that is what is my take on that.
Okay. Quickly moving on, if I look at your EBIT margins for industrial and engineering, right, it was around 16%, if I'm not wrong. 30 crores was the absolute number and percentage would be 16%, which is significantly higher than what we have seen in past quarters. So my question is, are there any one-offs in the 16%?
No one-offs. I think the automated storage solution, there was some... a supply where there is a better pass-through is there, and also on the static racking also our pricing was right. So you are looking at Q4 or you are talking about for the full year?
Q4. So Q4 at 16% EBIT margin.
No. I'm very sure. No one off.
Got it. Okay. And my last question would be in the powertrain segment, right? Has there been a broad change in the mix between MHCV, construction equipment, PV, and, you know, the other segments that you have? Do you see a broad change as of today versus, let's say, you know, a couple of years back?
We see some change going forward, but otherwise there is no change as of now. The farm sector, as usual, is a little cyclic nature, and when depends on the monsoon, plus also depends on the inventory which they are carrying. The CV for FY22 has been around 54%. The farm sector has been around 18%. Off-highway around 20%. Passenger vehicle has been 8%. So I see the same way going forward also.
Got it. Last question, and I'm just backtracking a bit to the INE margins. Since you said that there are no one-offs over here, can we expect such similar margins in the next 2-3 quarters as well, assuming no further price hikes in commodities?
Yes, I think it is realistic to expect that, yes.
Okay, got it. That was it from my side. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of T.S. Vichisarathi from Anand Rathi. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. Good evening. Just wanted to check, we hear from the market that there is some non-availability of raw materials with respect to aluminium forging side because of the pricing. There are many export opportunities and people are not, suppliers are not in a position to supply. Is that the case and is it continuing? That's one. Second, last quarter you had indicated about the 2-liter diesel engine, that one of the components that would get localized and that would be a big opportunity. You said it will kickstart in 23. Is that on and could you give us more information on that? Thank you.
Yes, that order has been received by us. It is already in development. There is also one very good factor. There is a lot of customer participation in the CapEx, so our CapEx is very much limited, and there is very good visibility for the next 5 years according to the customer, and is a very popular powertrain product from the, you know, the world leading powertrain manufacturers. That is a very good win for us. Might not be very sizable, but I see that production here will continue, and maybe this may be used as a global hub in the future. We hope so. At least it is only wishful thinking, but we see other manufacturers from Japan who are making India as a global hub for diesel engines, especially for pickup trucks, small pickup trucks for the African market, which is still at emission level 1, 2, 3. And even also tractor manufacturers are increasing their exports from India to African countries because they are still basic at the emission level 1 and 2 totally, or zero emission I would say. So the manufacturing and the powertrain business will continue. Your first part of the question, the aluminium, there is no problem about aluminium availability. It is only the fluctuating price and the uncertainty in shipment delay and for whatever maybe raw materials coming in. Earlier it was also some commodities like surprisingly silicon, which went 3 times more for a short period, just like some of the other manganese for the casting business. Of course, we are not impacted by the manganese. We don't see any issue there on the availability. But now, one point we need to take into consideration is the forex, which is, I mean, rupee has been depreciating a little now, and that will have an impact on the import of the basic raw material or the ingots either way. So we'll see some inflation, but I think aluminium has been decently steady in the last 2-3 months. The overall consumption of aluminium has not been great all over the world, so we feel it will be quite stable going forward if we don't see it inflationary.
Okay. Another follow-up question on this 2-liter diesel. So could you, does that spread your wings to some of these smaller commercial vehicles also, given that this could be a key component across the segments within the truck? That is one. Second, is there any way that we could help us understand the number quantification in terms of the size and all that? Thank you.
We are talking to for various orders for the trucks also for the engines, for fully finished blocks and heads totally. The reason being that the variety is becoming more in the market here. You see the trucks are having now 16, 18 wheels, 24 wheels, something like this. So the number of axles are also more. So we see that migration and the volume, the number of powertrain requirements, variety is also increasing. So we are getting good inquiries as we are the only manufacturer who can mission these powertrain products to the required precision for BS6 that way. So we see good opportunity.
And this is over and above the peak revenue of 1,500 crores that you would do in automotive if trucks were to grow. Am I right, sir? Or this order is part of the 1,500 crores?
No, we have done the top line of 1,150 crore in the last year, and we expect to grow a minimum of 20% this year. And as things stand, we also expect that to continue the 20% level for at least next 2-3 years. Then it should moderate. There will be some loss of some business, but there is some additional business, so it should moderate at around 10% growth.
Okay. Finally, sir, what is the under-recovery in the cost that you had to take up now? And given that the raw material prices have just gone up in the last two months, then we will see that impact. Well, that may not be still in the part of the consumption basket, but whatever is the under-recovery that we have till now, could you help us quantify, and therefore the impact that we will see the first half? Thanks.
No, auto powertrain, we don't have under-recovery or over-recovery because it's a straight pass-through. So it is in contract with the customer. And in this case, our esteemed supply partners very clearly. And in some of the cases, only job work where we don't even buy the material. So we are not exposed or there at all. Aluminium, it is more on the real terms now. All the manufacturers have moved into this calculating the method where it doesn't hurt the supplier.
Okay, so is under-recovery expected in the industrial business, and therefore this current margins may not sustain in the medium term? Is that a fair assumption? Or
no, there is no under-recovery as of today. We had under-recovery for the auto aluminium business last year, but we don't have any under-recovery for the auto aluminium business. Industrial engineering business, we are yet to pass through the increases for the high-end product in supposedly manufacturing. On storage, it is at least on Q4, it is real-time now, more or less. So I don't see any under-recovery going forward.
Great. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. The next question is in the line of Amyn Pirani from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Hello. Sorry. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yes, sir. We are able to hear you.
Yes, thank you for the opportunity. First of all, just wanted to revisit some commentary you made in tractors. I think I was not able to fully follow. You said that farm equipment or tractors is around 8% of your revenues?
Approximately, no, passenger vehicles. Passenger vehicles is 8%. Farm will be, I think, 18%, I think so.
Okay.
Construction equipment is 20%.
18 to 20%.
I will read out the numbers for FY22. The commercial vehicle top line was 620 crore. Off highway was 232. Passenger vehicles 97. Farm equipment was 206.
Okay. Thank you. And you were also mentioning that while 4Q was a weak quarter, you know, in terms of OEM requirements on the farm side, but you have seen a sequential recovery in 1Q. Is that correct?
Yes. I think everybody's numbers for the month of May projections are quite high.
Okay. But isn't it a seasonal thing, or you're seeing, you know, over and above that, you're seeing a strength in the ordering?
It is seasonal, agreed. I don't see anything apart from that. Apart from the seasonal, but so exports are a little steady. As I mentioned, almost everybody is getting into exports to Africa. That baseline is improving. 10% of the revenue now is coming from exports, and this is likely to increase going forward. Once the construction sector sees some rebound, the tractors sale will increase, because it is also going to be used for non-agri segment also.
Understood. Understood. That's helpful, sir. And sir, just on the cost side, you know, obviously there's been a lot of discussion around commodity prices and pass-through. But just wanted to get a sense from you, are you seeing high inflation in non-commodity related expenses for you? And especially on the power side. And the second part of the question is, given the kind of noise that we are hearing on, you know, coal availability and power shortage and power cuts, as a company, have you faced any issues on that front, or do you anticipate any issues either on power availability or power cost going forward?
I will answer that in two parts. First, I'll answer the power, and second, I'll answer the other inflationary costs, which we already have faced in the past year itself. That is one of the reasons I think some of the performance, we are not happy with the performance because we had these impacts. There is power outages in the north, wherever we are having the plants, as well as in the west. And these outages are a little disturbing because it is stopping the production also in a way. It is not a planned outage. So this is a problem. And today, power cost per unit, which is around 7-8 rupees a unit, when we are getting it from the state utilities, or we are buying from the exchange, or where we have some contract with private power producers, when we generate power with our generating engines, I think the power cost is coming to around 35 rupees, because it is 2.8 units per liter of diesel. Then we talk about diesel cost more than 100 rupees. Then gas means not all the plants are connected to the gas pipeline, so we are now changing to gas. So, but overall, our power cost for the company as a whole is on the top line. Now, let us, it's around 5%, and on the value addition portion of it, it may be close to around 9-10% is what my rough estimate is. In the 9-10%, I think on the value addition, will increase surely going forward. So it may shave off one or two EBITDA percentage points, but I think better capacity utilization and top line growth will have lead to better overheads absorption, and that will should more than nullify that. I will come to the elephant in the room. The elephant in the room is not the power for us. It is not the commodity for us. The commodity is anyway level playing segment for everybody in the market, whether it is delayed or something, it will everything fall in place. I think the elephant in the room for every company, most of the companies like us, will be on the manufacturing cost related to manpower, which they are seeing, I think, the 20-30% inflation. And you would have seen from our, of course, our annual report, once it is published, I think you will see the numbers would have gone up by 20% on the manpower related expenses. This is one of the reasons which was a little guarded or reserved when talking about capexes. We are reserving some of the capex as in the last year, in the current year also, for modernization as well as semi-automation or automation, which we build such products ourselves. So this will, we are keeping an keen eye on the cost of people. We need to give them the proper salary increase. Okay, we have to compensate not only for inflation, but also we have to see them growing. So we cannot have increase the headcount. So that means the 20-30% growth, what we are planning, has to come from with the same amount of people. So this means that we have to rethink a little, which we have been always conscious about. So today on our value addition, the manpower costs are quite significant. It is around close to 18-20%, I would say, on the value addition. So no point in talking about the top line to manpower cost, because the top line can be anything because of the commodity price. We are cognizant of the fact that we have to work on this.
Great, sir. Thanks a lot for the detailed answer, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll move on to the next question. That is in the line of Vishal Srivastav from Swan Investments. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir, and thank you for taking my question. Sir, most of the questions have got answered. Sir, I have one question regarding, you know, CAPEX you said it will be around 215-220 odd crores for FY23.
Yes, I will. If you are looking at a 20-25% growth, it will be at that level. Suppose we are revising the growth number, then we may come back to you at during the Q2 earnings call if there is anything dramatic changing.
Okay, great, sir. Sir, my second question is regarding the most sustainable run rate for the aluminium product business. Are we anywhere targeting, our earlier targets were around 10-12%. Are you seeing that sort of achievable in the near future?
Yes, we are getting orders on for higher tonnage presses what we have, which are non-two-wheeler business, which is better revenue, and also a little intricate machining, number two. And also on other segments of the auto powertrain like gravity die casting and low pressure die casting, we are also getting some new businesses, which are not capex intensive, but is also our skill level there is, and we have more than 20 year history in there. So we will continue to do well on the auto aluminium. I think these, with the EV opening up, this is becoming more important, I would say.
Okay. Sir, going forward, from a two-year perspective, what is your target for auto aluminium product business in terms of margin?
See, we are talking about the operating leverage to set in. So when you're talking about FY26, I can very confidently say the top line should be in the region of 1,000 crore. That is very clear. The FY25 depends on how the economy moves, what happens in the rest of the world. We are seeing frequent headwinds coming in. So whenever the operating leverage, when we cross the 70% level of the utilization level, I think the margins are set to improve.
Okay. Sir, one more question.
I'll just take one more sentence to add it to that. We are the last entrant, major entrant in the auto aluminium business. That has to be taken, in spite of that, we have performed. Now with the turbulence in the market with the new products coming in from almost all the PVs, this will change the game going forward, and we may get new customers in our fold. That's what we expect.
Great, sir. Great. So, sir, at 1,000 crore revenue by FY26, which you are expecting, can we be near the EBITDA margin of close to around 15-16%?
See, the aluminium prices may even change the top line to, say, 1,100 or 1,200 or 900 if the aluminium prices drops. So I would rather talk about a return of capital employed, which will be very close to 15%, and more close to 20% is what I look at. And EBIT margins also at a good two-digit. The EBITDA is a little risky for me to talk about when compared to the top line.
Great, sir. Sir, my last question is regarding, there has been increasing trend of, other expenditure in your P&L. This quarter also 133 odd crores compared to last quarter 119 odd crores, and it has been sequentially rising. So, any important highlights you want to share?
It's in proportion to the sales. I didn't understand the expenses.
I wanted to know, is there any one-offs here, or this is the sustainable run rate as a percentage to net sales?
You please look at, you look at net sales, right? If you look at net sales, yes. There is inflation on the manpower cost, which is going to be there very clearly. You compare to the value addition and net sales, then I think it is, it will be in line. There's no one-off there.
Okay. Thanks, sir. That's all from my side. Thank you, and all the best, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Disha Sheth from Anvil Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Disha, please go ahead.
Yes. Sir, I wanted to ask we are concentrating on auto aluminium business, so that will not reduce the overall margins of the company. as powertrain has a very high margin and the growth in powertrain is just lesser than growth in auto aluminium. So I just want your view on that.
No, the auto powertrain is, when we look at it, we have invested long back from, we started the investment in 2004. So we have net assets, the amount of depreciation level is quite low, whereas the auto aluminium is quite young. That is why you see that as if the margins are lower, but with better operating leverage, auto aluminium also will pick up the margins. And that is very clear. And both segments will grow. I don't see one segment not growing at all.
Okay, so auto aluminium margins, once the business grows, their margins are same as auto powertrain.
On the value addition, we have to knock off the material cost, then look at the value addition. I think the margins will be same.
Okay. And sir, just a repeat question. You mentioned that Daimler, there was some 760 crore of revenue in FY22, right? Did I get it right?
No.
I just missed that. You mentioned something.
I don't want to talk about numbers of customer revenue, which I mentioned. I talked about 760 for the company as a value addition portion of it. And I said that Daimler constitutes to around slightly above two digit on that revenue, on the valuation.
Okay, sir. Yeah. And sir, what is your view on CV going forward and the CV replacement, both OE and replacement, in the view from powertrain?
See, the scrappage policy is a natural phenomenon which is already happening. We don't see a 15-year-old truck running on the highway because it is uneconomical to run it. It is also unreliable. The powertrain life is today's with the increased axle load norms of the government to make it more efficient. I think the powertrain life is only around 600,000 kilometers. And today, good fleet operators are operating an average of around 500,000 kilometers a day. So within 4 years, I think the vehicle needs replacement. And the vehicle needs to go for secondary use, where it will take bulk cargo but not the heavy cargo. So this modernization will continue.
Okay, sir. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Pritesh Chheda from Lucky Investments. Please go ahead.
Sir, two clarifications. The mix that you mentioned, PV, farm, construction, that was for powertrain, right?
Oh, yes, for powertrain. We didn't talk about EV at all. We talked about commercial
vehicle. You mentioned five car, right? You said commercial vehicle, construction equipment, farm equipment, and passenger car, you mentioned 95 crores?
Yes, passenger car, we would have mentioned 95 crores, yes.
Perfect, yeah. And my second question is, when you were mentioning the capacity and the utilization, you mentioned that we can do 300 crore per month, so that's about 3600 crore. On the contrary, the aluminum die cast business, you can do about 1000 crore, which you're in any case running at about 440. So that's how we should look at your capacity construct?
No, that requires little investment. I think our current capacity utilization for the year is 55-60%, I would say.
So which means that bulk of your extra capacity is in aluminum die cast only. And the margin expansion in aluminum die cast is a function of the operating leverage.
Yes, operating leverage and the new products from the passenger vehicle segment. You have to move away from the two-wheeler segment.
So if you have to grow at 20%, in which obviously powertrain must also be growing at that rate, do you need any capacity creation in powertrain or you have that for the growth?
See, the capacity creation on powertrain may be marginal, but the bulk of the assets going out of end of use life, book value becoming zero, I think as a company itself, we are having 150 crores, 200 crores going forward from the next year. In the overall depreciation of around 220 crore in FY23, which is what we estimated, FY24 is also the depreciation is same, but the around 130 or 150 crore of assets are more than we coming into 15 years old. We will continue to use the assets, but at a 20-year point, we have to look at the effectiveness of utilization to whether to replace them. So the modernization will continue. I would say capacity expansion will be smaller.
So that 250 crore of capex will support your growth, right? Or you need some extra money to be invested in powertrain over and above the depreciation number which you are mentioning of 220-250 crores.
The minute we cross in any quarter the 750 crore number, then we have to plan for capex 1 year down the line, because our capacity utilization as a company itself will come to around 75-80%. Then in that growth trajectory, we have to see where is the bottleneck on capacity. So that is why I mentioned that we have to see where are we touching on any particular month closer to the 300 crore capacity what we have. Even though we may be touching a lower number, one segment may be touching the capacity level at some particular point of time. Mainly I'm talking about the auto powertrain or auto aluminium. Industrial engineering doesn't require much of capex.
So that capex will be over and above the 220-250 which you are mentioning as of now in the call.
No, we are looking at a 20-25% growth with the capex of around the same as the depreciation level. So from a 2200 we are talking about 2600 crore with this capex. Suppose in Q4 or something like that we do much more, we may require capex. I'm not sure about it. As of today, we will try to manage, but I would say I don't want to lose any orders because of some capacity constraint in some particular area. But that will, it will be an outlier, I would say. Let us see how the market goes.
So, sir, just to be very clear, at 20% growth, including the end of life of your machine, including the depreciated machine, if you have to grow 20% at the total business level, you need 220 to 250 crore of capex. If for any reason you have more business flowing in and your capacity utilization hits above 75%, that's that 750 crore of revenue, then you need a more capex over and above 220-250. Is that interpretation correct?
Perfect, sir. Right, sir. I will add one more variable to that matter. There may be new segments where we are not present. That also may entail capex if it is so lucrative. That's all.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is in the line of Priyank Cheda from Standard Chartered Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity, sir. Just wanted to again clarify on the capital allocation part. So this year we're planning to grow in the northward of 20-25%. Our cash flows will be generating more than 400 crores. So, and of that, we just require 200 crores in capex and maybe 100 crores around that. So, I mean, what would be the capital allocation part?
See, the capital allocation will be across all the three segments in the same proportion as the revenue. That far, more or less balanced. It may be from one quarter to another quarter, it may be a little change. For the full year, it will be the same. I mean, it will be in proportion with the revenue. Second point is our gross block, which was restated after Ind AS, it's actually around 2,700 crores, something like this, 2,800 crores, because when we moved to Ind AS, the net block became the gross block. That is why you see a slower, lower number. So the 2,800 crore means just for, you look at the depreciation portion, that's why our depreciation is very high, 220 crore. We just need 200 crore to keep the equipment going in a way. But we are using part of that for replacing the assets, and part of it we are using for growth capacity, and part of it we are using for new avenues of business. That is how we are allocating the capital.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the last question. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Srinivasan Ravi, Chairman and Managing Director, for his closing comments.
Thank you, everybody, for participating. It's a very lively discussion. And as usual, I have a lot of inputs from your side. And as a company, we will be very transparent going forward and look forward to meeting you all again after the Q1 results. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Craftsman Automation Limited, that concludes this conference call. We thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.